This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
Welcome to yet another edition of the Small Business Conversations podcast. I am your host, Akona Machoba. Thank you for choosing this weekly SME show as your preferred platform to delve into the important issues affecting South Africa's small business environment. The V&A Waterfront is looking for 8 local food entrepreneurs to take part in this year's edition of the Makers Landing Kitchen Incubator Program. The program promises to help entrepreneurs with business development training, financing, as well as technical support, among other skills that are important for business success. Now, the food business is historically a difficult one to get right, as the industry has a lot of regulatory standards that businesses need to adhere to. South Africa has its own localized problem of energy insecurity, and then on top of that, you add inventory management and other ever-changing consumer preferences. And that's just naming only a few of the issues that might be challenging for entrepreneurs in this space. So what makes this entrepreneurship program different? Alex Kabelin, the retail executive at the V&A Waterfront, is joining me today to answer that question and tell us more about the program. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast, Alex.
Thanks for having me, Akona.
So, first things first, what makes this incubator program different from all the other SME programs out there? What are you offering participants?
Yeah, I think you've almost got to wind it back a little bit to the beginning of Makers Landing. And, you know, the V&A discovered the need for a space that uplifts and celebrates local young food entrepreneurs and breaking down barriers to entry in the local food industry. So we needed a space that builds a community around food and passion of food as a cultural connector. So, you know, for us, that was very important. 3 years ago, we started on the culmination of what was the Makers Landing in partnership with the Jobs Fund. And, you know, we built a food hub and a kitchen incubator that champions small business development and skill sharing between putting together skills experts and food credible experts together with these budding entrepreneurs. So you've got amazing collaboration between people who've been in the industry for many, many years working in the commercial kitchen and new young entrepreneurs coming through there. But then when we talk about the actual program, this is a dedicated program specified to people in the food industry. So I think it has the general ones of other SMEs, as you talked about earlier. It's about helping them take control of their businesses, increasing their chances of success, and finds ways of identifying and supporting them, you know, enabling them to grow. And I think, you know, we go through a pretty rigorous selection process. So, you know, it's not easy to get in, but then, you know, what we want to do is take the people who've got the passion and taking, you know, where they've got a passion and turning it into a business. Some of them are sidelines and side hustles, but actually they have the potential to grow and scale materially. So I think that's where it becomes so important. We then link them up with mentors to help them through the technical sides of things. So, you know, and finally, market access and scalability is the next one. So it's kind of grounding, leveling, and then growing is the kind of three stages.
Alex, please speak to us about the rigorous selection process that you mentioned. What does it entail, and how do candidates make it into the program?
Well, the first thing is obviously applying with all the details that are available on the website. And then we go through that selection process. I think we're looking for certain particular types of people that we want to bring into the system. So maybe look at it that way. So, you know, we can't take something that's completely grassroots. You've got to be trading for at least 12 months. It's got a high growth rate. I think we're looking for people who are showing a monthly turnover around 10,000 Rand or more, ideally. So you've got to have a business that's starting to grow. I think it obviously has to be in the food sector, so very specific to the food sector or food packaged goods or hot foods. I think we're a local-based company, so there are other requirements for people to be in Cape Town. And I think the nice part of it is obviously very important for us is prioritizing women-owned businesses and female enterprises. So those are some of the key ones. Once we go through that, we have a look at all the applications we've got. We try not to duplicate too many, and then we go in front of a panel, and eventually it's almost like a MasterChef kind of one. Is we do a sweat test in the kitchen, and you know, I think all of these people can cook. I think that's never the issue. It's the attitude, it's the ability, it's the willingness to grow that really is what sets them apart. So I think we're not there about teaching people to cook. I think that's often a misconception. It's actually helping them to grow their business, which is far more complicated sometimes.
You mentioned quite a bit of points that I will touch on during our conversation, but I would like to just get back into, like I mentioned in my intro, that the food business is quite a tough industry to navigate because it requires so many moving parts to align in order to have a good shot at success. And you mentioned that it's not just about cooking. There's much more to making a success of a food business. And I'm just wondering, what are some of the dynamics that factor into success or failure of a food business in Cape Town? One obvious benefit, obviously, of the city is a great influx of tourist activity, especially in the V&A waterfront area. That is quite an iconic tourist attraction. But what are the other dynamics that factor into a business being able to scale, like you mentioned?
Yeah, I think you've got to start with, you know, there's got to be a level of business acumen and resilience. I think some of those things is what we're trying to teach the people how to do, learning about operations, budgeting, financial management, marketing. It's often the area that is least focused on, but actually one of the most important is that when you think about yourself being a chef, you take less interest in the financial side of things, but it's often the point that can make or break the business. So those are important for them to understand those and see where their growth opportunities are. I think product quality is essential. Many people have tried and tested recipes, and nobody wants to lose that essence of fantastic quality, but it's just how can those be evolved? How can those keep up with the trends? What can one do? And often, you know, when you're living hand to mouth and teaching them about bulk buying and how that can not drop your quality, but actually help your bottom line. And then it is about the scaling the business, the parts that you talked about, which is the acceleration side of things. And, you know, that's the benefit, as you said, about being at places like the waterfront is, you know, having invested in business continuity. We have hundreds of generators that keep us going every day. So, you know, load shedding is not something that has become a factor. Equally, you have access, as you talked about, to many of the retail and tourists that are about. And I think most importantly, what we do give as part of the program is access to a commercial kitchen where you have, you know, state-of-the-art equipment, which they don't necessarily have access to at home. You start making something, you scale it up, friends say, this is a great idea, but you then need a commercial oven to be able to move it from 100 to 1,000 products, for example.
Alex, you mentioned that the benefits of being at the Maker's Landing location because of the shared space and the access to equipment help us understand how the program is set up. So there are different stages where people are going to be learning different skills. I understand there's a 3-month part, a 4-month part of the program where we're doing different things. And there's a part of the program where people are putting the skills that they've learned to use. And I'm just wondering, how easy is it to transfer the skills that were learned at the Maker's Landing location in the waterfront, where you have a consistent influx of people coming in and out, tourists, local, international, and taking that business and all that you've learned and all those skills elsewhere, like let's say moving to Johannesburg? Are people able to transfer those skills? What is the success rate looking like for people that move outside of the Western Cape?
Yeah, I think that it comes down to building a resilient business and understanding where the growth opportunities are. So yes, it's maybe a softer landing when you open up at the waterfront and you get access to a strong market. But then, you know, we try and provide them market access in other strong areas of Cape Town, and we have relationships with other players in the food industry. And then if your business is scalable and ready to grow national, then absolutely you want to see these businesses grow nationally and replicate. And that's really what it's about. So it's building a strong platform that you need to, you know, you've got to identify your gaps. You've got to, you know, get that baseline and how you are going to develop. And that's all part of, you talked about those various phases. So when this is a 12-month program or 13-month program, actually. So we really a deep dive into the businesses and spend a lot of time with them. So we have a pre-incubation phase, really assessing where they are. Then you move into an incubation phase, which is for 5 months, where you now start dealing with some of the challenges, the health checks, how they're doing, the scale of operations, readiness for that, because, you know, it's all well and good to want to grow, but then you need, how are you going to get access to finance? How are you going to get, you know, making those things there? As you talked about earlier, compliance with all food safety ones. Many people aren't aware of that. Or if you want to, let's say, supply to one of the big retailers, they will obviously insist on various certifications. So it's taking people from that kind of idea and a really great little business into a proper SME that can grow and sustain jobs going forward. And then finally, we move into a growth one where it's more the last 4 months, and that's more about marketing exposure, and that's really building a brand and a business and scaling it up to that one. But if you try and run before you can walk, we've seen a few businesses that have tried to do that, and if you haven't got the fundamentals there, then unfortunately they don't. There's too many stories of great products, but a business that hasn't built the foundations correctly.
And with regards to ever-changing times, I, on my day-to-day job, I cover retail, the retail sector, quite a bit. And I've sat in on investor relation calls with CEOs speaking about how much they've spent on diesel because of load shedding and how much their costs have surged because of the energy crisis that we have locally. And I'm just wondering how the program is dealing with that. Have you found the program having to add new models to it to kind of respond to the times and the challenges that we are dealing with in this current environment? How rigorous is the updates of what you're teaching and what you're trying to get to SME so that they can thrive in the food industry?
It's a very good point. Is we've already run this program for over 3 years now, and this is now the second iteration. So it is like an update on your phone. It's version 2.0. I think everything, we've taken all the learnings from the previous ones and hopefully made it better and changed the focuses in certain areas. But it is about that. It's teaching people to think, to look for trends, to make them resilient, as you talked about. So what are the things coming down? Because what's affecting us today isn't necessarily what's going to affect us tomorrow. So it's building those ones in, having a robust business model and having, you know, the ability to evolve and change your product mix so that you can talk to what the needs are for the time. So I think it's one of those ones of teaching people how to think rather than just how to cook.
And then with regards to brand fundamentals, you mentioned just earlier in an earlier response about how that plays quite a big role. But if we can just delve a bit into it, I mean, we know that the food industry is a very trendy business. Today, I'm a vegetarian. Tomorrow, I'm on a keto diet. And things are changing based on trends and what's cool out there. What is the teachings behind having a solid brand identity and following something that is going to be successful? And is it more better to be adaptable to trends or to stick to one thing and do it well? What is the general advice around that for the food industry?
Akona, there's no hard and fast with any of these ones. You know, some brands have been tried and tested and always do what they've always done for 20 years, and then other brands evolve and change with the time. So it's quite a difficult question. I think you do need to be aware of where people are going, and you know, you want your food and your ingredients to be healthier over time. As you mentioned, more and more people are going into non-meat ones, vegetarian. You're getting vegan options. So, you know, are you addressing, is your product wide enough to address what the needs of the customer are? Because often it's a push-pull situation. So you've got a great product and you say, well, you know, I'd love to try your product, but I'm vegan. Oh, well, we've actually got a vegan option. So it's thinking through those ones and what are the next trends that are going to be coming down the line. But as you say, you also want to remain true to yourself, is that if you've got a brand that only uses high quality ingredients, you now don't want to go and do huge mass produced ones, and you're not playing in a low cost, high volume basis. You're doing it in a much more artisanal way.
And then just to close up, I understand that the closing date for the program is the 29th of January, but any further details that you want to get out there for people that are interested in the program? You mentioned that location is important, being Cape Town based. Am I understanding you correctly with that? What other details do you think will be crucial for entrepreneurs looking to be part of the program?
Yeah, I think it was the list of ones that I gave earlier, but I think it's ideally Cape Town based, ideally a business that's been running for at least 12 months. So it couldn't be something you just thought about now. It's got to have a bit of a track record and a bit of a revenue projection so that you've got that going through. But you know, I think we try not to put too many hurdles in the way. We'd rather have more applications than less and sift through them. You know, the more people we can put through it, I think, you know, we all want to see these incredible entrepreneurs grow and thrive in our industry.
That right there is Alex Kablin, the retail executive at the iconic V&A Waterfront, sharing more information about the Makers Landing Incubator Program for food entrepreneurs and how they look to assist businesses to navigate the challenging space. Thank you so much for your time, Alex. Really appreciate the time.
No problem at all, Akona. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please download the Small Business Conversations podcast on all digital platforms and don't forget to share our episodes. If you wanted to contribute to the conversation, you can X me at machoba_A or you can email us at smepodcast@manweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversations. Until next time, goodbye and don't forget to support a small business near you.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.